Welcome back in, final hour. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning, we go to our 102.5 the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. I hear you trashing the college football playoff. Robbie, come on. Leave it alone. It's okay. You'll love it after we start, after it expands. For the first year, you'll realize that the bigger it gets, the more exciting it'll be.
I can't do it. I'm going to have to add you to the list of people I'm yelling at, along with Joe Rexroad.
That's fine. I'm happy to join it. I think you guys got to understand in the era of I think it's funny because when you talk to NFL teams about the portal, and unless something dramatically changes, I think they like the idea of additional games, particularly as it pertains to quarterbacks that are switching teams in the portal and creating higher end teams that maybe they don't necessarily expect, and wanting to see, some of those quarterbacks play a few additional games, especially now that, guys opt out. They're not, if the bowl game doesn't mean anything, none of them play at this point anymore in the bowl games. And I think the NFL would love to see some of the quarterbacks who are going into the portal becoming, bigger stars at the next school, and reviving their careers, maybe play a few extra playoff games. I'm just telling you, once it starts, all these people that are upset about it, it's going to be exciting enough that I think we'll get over it real fast.
It's nice to have a free feeder system, isn't it, NFL?
Yeah, it really is. And they just love that free minor league system.
Yeah, there's no question about that. So, Charles, we've discussed all week, the Titans and finding a path to get some talent around Will Levis. And there's a lot of work to do in order to accomplish that. There's the T. Higgins situation that we've talked a whole lot about, and we'll wait and see what happens on that front. Brandon Ayuk in San Francisco, you've got family members and people close to him going on Instagram and talking about leaving San Francisco, and his contract situation is left to be figured out. So, should he become, I guess, number one, what do you make of the Brandon Ayuk situation in San Francisco? And number two, should he become available, would that be an option that you would pursue if you were Rand Carthon and the Titans?
I think we got to see what happens. Look, the combine is going to be really important, I think, in the situation, particularly for teams that are looking at wide receivers, just because it continues to be, it feels like the last how many drafts we talked about, geez, wide receivers so deep. This year, it's going to be a monster class. And I think other than probably the top, three guys, Marvin, whatever order you got him in, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Dunze out of Washington, now everyone's going to try and figure out after those three who's going to surface, in this process. And you know how many guys are going to work out at the combine. That's one of the things I'm really curious about, because I feel like you're hearing more and more agents saying, we're just going to press teams to go back to the film. We're not going to do any more of the cognitive testing. So no S2s, no Wunderlichs. We're not going to run our guys unless they feel like they're absolutely in tip-top form and really want to do it. Maybe they'll go through some of the pass catching drills, but it feels like there's more of a press than ever to continue to minimize what they do at the combine versus, hey, you want to see our guy, bring him in. You want to do cognitive stuff with him, bring him in on a visit and run him through the paces, sitting in front of you in a one-on-one or in a group situation in your own facility, throw to him in your facility. It's just, I think that's going to affect, in some respects, the wide receiver position, but there are so many guys beyond that first tier that teams are curious about, that I think there's a chance some of these players can go and make themselves some money. Keon Coleman, there's questions about his ability to separate. Can he show that? Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU, really raw, but a guy who's, his testing numbers should be insane. Ladd McConkey, does everything, catches the ball well, feels like he's a plug-and-play player out of Georgia. The Xavier Leggett kid out of South Carolina, Troy Franklin. I mean, there's a lot of size. There's a lot of speed. There's a lot of different things the receivers can do, but it's just like, I think teams want to see just who's the most well-rounded player. One of the guys that a lot of people are talking about, the Malachi Corley kid out of Western Kentucky, I hear a lot of people saying, man, he reminds me a lot of like Michael Pittman or, you know, the Debo Samuel stuff, like a running back who's just powerful at the wide receiver position. So, you know, if I'm the Titans, I think you want to see what happens. You know, could you potentially get a receiver that you think could be impactful right away in that second round? Is, you know, obviously be at the sacrifice of maybe the offensive line, but do one of the top three guys maybe trickle down unexpectedly with, you know, the performance of other guys at the combine or the meetings? And, you know, the thing with T, it's expensive. I do think there's definitely some tag and trade traction there. I don't think ownership wants to give him up without getting something out of him. Plus, they have a lot of cap room to be able to play that game right now. Do you want to give up a first round pick for T. Higgins? I think that's what they want, you know, coming out. That's just feels like a steep price to pay when there's potentially guys in the draft. And then with Ayuk, I can tell you this, ownership and John Lynch, they don't want to give up Brandon Ayuk. I think they feel like when you talk to them, like, look, there's a lot of disappointment coming out of the Super Bowl. You know, guys are always, you always kind of deal with this where they're upset or their family's upset. They don't pay a lot of attention, honestly, to the family stuff. That happens a lot across the NFL now where you have family members that are saying stuff on social media. Teams try to ignore that and go straight to the player and go like, look, is this you or is this just, you know, family frustration? I think they feel like that's where it's at with Ayuk. And, you know, he's a very valuable player to them, particularly considering they know that at any given moment during a season, Debo Samuel, because of how he plays, there's the potential for him to go down. And, you know, Purdy loves Ayuk, and I think that's a player they don't want to take away from him. So I think the price there would be probably prohibitive. Like they're going to say, look, if this happens, you're going to have to pay to get him. And, you know, so again, I just think it's what are the realistic options? I think you're going to have a deep wide receiver class where you could take a young player. And I guess I would ask you guys, you know what's there now, right? And what do you think of the top two there right now? You obviously have a veteran young guy mix in that top two. One who, you know, could have had a better season as a young guy this year that I expected that didn't materialize. Do you feel like, hey, they just have to go out and get a star now, or it's going to be too prohibitive for Levis to have success in year two?
Well, no.
Yes.
Well, I don't think that they need to go. They have to go get a veteran. I think that they have to address the room severely.
Yes.
So, you know.
Okay.
But it could be, as you said, Charles. I mean, the receiver draft is fantastic. So
yeah.
So yeah, like they could still get a great two to go next to Hopkins for the, you know, at least the year that Hopkins had left on his deal and not get into this stuff at all, for sure. But, you know, it's just one of those things that if you have a chance at one of those guys and it's actually, and it's not prohibitive, then maybe it's worth looking at.
It's and another thing too, that I think you want to consider, if you go get one of these veterans, it's probably a contract extension situation, right? So you're automatically already picking up a pricey wide receiver contract to effectively, you would say it would replace the Hopkins deal, right? So in the Hopkins deal, you play out the Hopkins deal, and then, you know, whoever you've gone out and acquired, that deal is going to then slot in as your number one wide receiver deal. I mean, do you want to do that when you have the opportunity to take a young guy who, again, depending how you feel about him, that's really what matters here. Maybe the Titans won't be as high on this class as others, but that's a rookie deal that you're going to be working on. Even if you take him in the second round, you know, there's that thought process of you're not automatically devoting money to two wide receivers off the bat, and then you don't already have a big monster deal that's gonna come in and slot out the Hopkins deal once you know he's done in Tennessee. It's just, you know, some teams don't want to sit there and go, hey, we don't want to repetitively always be operating on a super expensive wide receiver deal. Like, let's be able to have some money management in play here and put that money elsewhere. Maybe the offensive line, You know, maybe there are other positions that they feel like they could shore up that could help Levis as much. Then always having every cycle you have a high, you know, number one wide receiver deal on the books. You guys, are you guys not you off Burks? Like, do you feel like that's just like you didn't see what? Is there just too many injuries? I mean, what is it about Burks that you feel like doesn't factor into him being potentially the guy that can work his way back into being a number one?
Been pretty rough.
It's been pretty bad.
Yeah.
And I think you know, the injuries are hard to trust with him. You know, and some of them are not his fault. I mean, look, he's been basically knocked unconscious twice in two games over 2 years. But when he's been on the field, I mean, look, he made basically one play last year, and it was a 70-yarder against the Chargers, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah, the contested, you know, you would like to see, given what his physical makeup is, you know, you would want more contested catch stuff. And, you know, that's definitely the one thing I think from watching some of their games last year where I was just like, man, he's just not as big a contested catch guy as maybe I thought he would be for what his physical style is. Definitely not an A.J. Brown.
Right, that's the thing. It was supposed to also be it was supposed to also be yards after catch like A.J. Brown, and that's also underwhelming. Yeah. So, I mean, to me, it's almost like gravy if he works out, but I think you have to kind of plan for it to not happen. But maybe this new staff, they'll find the key, and he'll find health.
Yeah, and honestly, that might – truthfully, that might be the key. I mean, you look at Denver – when Sean Payton went in there, I was like, Courtland Sutton's gone. Like, there's no way he's gonna last here. And, you know, Jerry Jeudy. And they actually became viable players. Shoot, Courtland Sutton had one of his best seasons in forever. And especially from a scoring standpoint. And, you know, when you talk to people on their staff, they're like, yeah, you know, even with, you know, Sean's gripes about Russ, he figured out a way to incorporate these wide receivers in a way that we don't feel so desperate that we have to go out there and add guys. So that's a good point. I mean, sometimes staff changes can, you know, give a guy a fresh kind of start, and maybe that's what Burks needs. But I'm with you. I thought the world of him going into the season last year, and I was really disappointed what he produced.
We'll have more with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, continuing our conversation with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports.
Charles, a lot of stuff going on now. Wanted to ask you about Cousins. We've been talking about Cousins and Fields and the quarterback market.
Yeah.
Where do you think that is at this point? Where do those give? Right now, we're going to put you on the record where Kirk Cousins and Justin Fields are quarterbacking next year.
It's going to be an exciting combine because you're going in and there's already a lot of teams that are asking the same question. Like I think everybody thinks all the traction is going to happen with both of these camps, in the combine. You know, Cousins, when he ultimately left Washington, did the big deal in Minnesota, that all came together, at the combine when it wasn't supposed to. You know, they're not supposed to be talking to teams, all that stuff. So clearly there's a past history there of basically getting deals done on the front end of the combine. So I think there's a feeling that we'll probably exit the combine having a real good idea where Cousins is going to end up. The same with Fields, you know, given the comments that he's made recently, the fact that clearly the Bears have not guaranteed him that he's going to be their guy moving forward. I think you're going to see their front offices, I don't think they're going to necessarily actively shop him or that number one pick. I think they're going to see, you know, who bellies up to the table at the combine and what traction they get. But it definitely feels like Fields is kind of moving out of Chicago at this stage. I will say this for Fields. The front office in Pittsburgh really liked him a lot. And now you have Arthur Smith there. The question is, does Arthur Smith like him? You know, he fits the offense. There's no question about that. There's a reason why he was tied to the Falcons throughout the course of the season because it felt like such a good fit. And frankly, it's been an underwhelming experience with Kenny Pickett. And I don't think anybody is staring at that quarterback depth chart in Pittsburgh when we definitely have the right guy. So I think that's why you see, you know, Pittsburgh prominently displayed as a team that Fields could end up with, just from the offensive fit. And again, I'm telling you, after talking to the front office, they really, really liked him when he was coming out in the draft. And then, you know, Atlanta's still prominently a team that teams are going to peg, you know, with Fields. I think they know him well, the personnel staff. I think there were a lot of people sort of staring at him over the course of last season, thinking, you know, if Arthur was still there, this is a player that would make some sense for them. You know, I think the ownership, I think Arthur Blank, I really honestly, they will never admit it publicly, but I do think there is a, like, just a tinge of regret that they did not look deeper into Lamar Jackson. Like, I think they feel like they missed out. They'll never admit it. They'll always say that was something that was never going to be on the table for them. But I think there's some regret in that organization when it comes to that. And so it's sort of like, can Fields, you know, be maybe a poor man's Lamar Jackson? And what could that do with the roster around him, which is very talented? So I would, yeah, those two make a ton of sense to me, particularly given where Atlanta is in the draft. They're, unless they're going to move up into the top three, they're in that second tier quarterback area. And then, you know, would they want to address it with a veteran player like, say, a Kirk Cousins? You're going to hear a lot of the Las Vegas Raiders with Kirk Cousins. You're going to hear some Atlanta Falcons because of the need and some element of fit with the coordinators with both of those franchises. I still think Minnesota, I really, really believe, unless they feel like one of those second-tier quarterbacks pops in the process, they really want to have Kirk Cousins back. What's holding it back right now, and particularly Kevin O'Connell, he really likes Cousins, and he feels like, you know, Cousins finally figured the offense out in year two, and that's why he was playing at the level he was playing at when he tore the Achilles. And, you know, I also think they feel like there's some viability for Cousins beyond just a year or two. It's not necessarily a bridge. He could play there for a few more years and be very productive in that offense. The problem is they don't want to do what they're staring at, and they're like, look, we can't keep giving Kirk Cousins these like 2 year increments of $80 million guaranteed. Like, we can't, like, at some point you're like, Kirk Cousins is going to have $500 million in salary by the time he gets out of the league. And how much have the Vikings forked over? I think they would like a little friendlier deal in terms of, you know, having some escapability if he, you know, let's see what he looks like when he comes back from the Achilles. The problem that he has is, you know, he's going to have a market. He's going to be a plug-and-play veteran. And when you look at the NFL draft order, you're staring at a number of teams, again, that are going to be sort of in that second-tier area that could potentially need quarterbacks. I mean, the Giants, you know, how they feel at six coming out of the combine. The Falcons at eight. You know, obviously the Vikings at 11, the Broncos at 12. You talk the Raiders at 13. You talk to people in the Broncos building, they feel like Peyton is definitely going to look very hard at potentially moving up and getting one of those first-tier quarterbacks. It's clearly going to be his decision. But again, that's something that I think we'll know more once we kind of get into the combine process. And, you know, I think by the second week of March, as we're approaching free agency, we're going to know where a lot of these teams are dialed in on, especially the quarterbacks in this draft.
So to that, you bring up the Broncos there, Charles. So how does Russell Wilson factor into all this? Will he be a starter this year, or what, how do you view what his future could look like in the league?
I think it's going to be similar to what we saw materialize over the course of last offseason. Like, let's see what chairs are left after, you know, the combine, the free agency. I don't think he's definitely not going to be in Washington, or I mean, excuse me, he's not going to be in Denver. I don't know why I still see people are like, well, maybe they'll keep him. No, he's not going to be in Denver. I have no idea why that would even occur at this point. He doesn't want to be there. It's clear that the coaching staff wants to move on. So, you know, I think it's going to depend on, again, when we look at those, you know, second tier teams, where could he potentially fall? What opportunities are there? I still would not rule out, you know, Washington, New England, maybe one of these teams. If Russ does not have a really big market. I would not rule out one of these teams potentially taking a quarterback and then fishing around Russ as a potential bridge quarterback at this stage of his career. I don't think Russ wants that, but, you know, I don't think everything is fully going to be in his hands, but so much of this really depends on what happens with Kirk. Does he stay in Minnesota, which I do think is a high percentage shot at this stage. And then how does some of these second tier quarterbacks, Bo Nix, JJ McCarthy, Penix, how do they work out? What do they come in size wise? You know, they all particularly Penix and McCarthy, you know, I think teams are a little nervous just about, you know, physical ability to hold up to the game. They're both thinner players. There's a lot to be gained, I think, in that second tier, and that I think will steer what ends up happening veteran wise. Like McCarthy could end up being drafted by a team that says, you know what, we're going to totally do the redshirt year for you. So we do need a bridge quarterback, and that's where a Russell Wilson could potentially come into play. All I can tell you about Russ, he's not going to be in Denver. Okay. Like if he ended up staying in Denver, because I've seen some people mention that, and I'm like, why are we doing this? There's no way he's going to be there unless he gets some dirt on Sean Payton. And why would he want to stay, at this stage after Payton so clearly did everything he could to move on from him?
Well, it's going to be really interesting. Charles, appreciate so much, as always, you taking time to be with us. And we'll talk to you next week. Getting close to Joe Rexroad's favorite event of the year, and that is the NFL Combine. We're almost there.
Charles buys me dinner. That's right.
Yes,
and you're buying me dinner. Sure. Yes, this is an annual tradition. Sounds good.
That's your favorite event of the year, me buying you dinner in Indianapolis.
That's right. Let's do it.
All right, guys. See you.
Charles, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rexo. We'll react to what Charles had to say on the NFL front, and we'll get into a little mock draft season with Joe Rexrode doing his hand to be the, I guess, what'd you call yourself on Twitter? The Titans writer GM?
GM writer? Something like that.
Yeah.
Now, it's no mathlete, but it's something.
Jackie Moon.
Hey. Yeah, well, there's that too.
Nice.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.